God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue our theme of going through the Gospel of St. Luke, I will admit this is not the appropriate Gospel passage for this recognition of the Holy Trinity. But there are some parallels here. But to begin with, let me first start with the Holy Trinity. We worship what God reveals to us. He reveals Himself to us as one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I cannot prove the Trinity, and logically, if I tried to put the Trinity and diagram it on the board, it wouldn't make much sense. How can I say that there is one God, but there are three persons of this one God, but still maintain the unity of one God? It just doesn't make sense. And as we are going through the Athanasian Creed, you are probably thinking, do they really need to say all that in there in the Athanasian Creed? And the answer is yes. The reason why is because it is such a hard thing to comprehend. We say we believe it by faith, but man typically tries to sit there and say, I can make God somehow fit in my brain. And when man does this, man starts falling into the traps of some various heresies. St. Athanasius and others had to help combat these heresies. And so the wordiness of this creed may sound a little incomprehensible to us. Does it have to be that way? And the answer is yes. This is the way that God reveals Himself to each and every one of us through His holy word. It has to be that way. So we say we believe in the miracle and the concept of the Trinity by faith. Hence, the founding fathers of this congregation, feeling that the Trinity was so important, decided to name this congregation Trinity. Again, not something they could prove, but something they believed by faith. Now, let me take that concept of believing by faith and use it as sort of a backdrop into our text for today. In today's text, we have two miracles going on. We have the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead, and we have the miracle of a woman who was hemorrhaging, that hemorrhaging being stopped. Two miracles taking place by Jesus in this one section of text. So first of all, let's start with the first one. Jairus comes to Jesus and pleads, saying, "Will you come to my daughter?" At this moment, his daughter is only sick, on the way of dying. And so Jesus consents and now leaves with him. And the crowds are sort of all packing around him, you could say. And in the midst of that crowd comes a woman, knowing that Jesus can heal her, does not even directly touch Jesus, but either just touches a garment or one of the tassels on the garment and is immediately healed. Now, with all the crowds of people going around him, you would think that Jesus wouldn't even notice, but he noticed. Because notice, as Scripture says, power went out from him. He felt that power going out from him. Even if she just touched his garment, that caused him to stop and say, wait a minute, what happened? Who touched me? Simon Peter probably thinking Jesus has kind of lost it all because all these people were crowding around him. There were probably hundreds of people touching him. No, there was one person that Jesus was looking for. She fessed up and said it was her. And notice what Jesus says to her. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And if that wasn't enough for us, when message finally gets back to Jairus that his daughter is dead, don't bother the teacher anymore. What does Jesus say? Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Does Jesus have the power to raise the dead? Does Jesus have the power to heal someone with hemorrhaging? Does Jesus have the power, as we heard earlier, to calm the seas? To heal the sick? To get rid of evil spirits? I have to ask the question, where is your faith? What do you believe? If your faith is in who the person and work of Jesus is, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, God Himself, true man and true God, then yes, He has the power to heal. to raise the dead. Jesus just touches people and they are healed. The power of God. So when Jesus finally gets to the house of Jairus, he takes the little girl by the hand, "My child, arise." And she is now awake. The Spirit returns to her and instructs the parents to give her something to eat. Now let me bridge a little bit of the two together. Jesus very clearly focuses upon the faith of the individual. Do you believe who Jesus is? True man, true God. Do you believe the words of the Athanasian Creed? Because in this faith that God has given you to believe this, there is power. Power to be healed, power to be restored, power and joy that only God alone can bring. Now some of us, in the various aspects of our hurting, in the sinful world of ours, may be saying, "Pastor, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus was here and we could just touch him and be healed? Wouldn't it be nice if he was here so, you know, I could get that joy, I can get that energy, I can get that power of God coming from him? Pastor, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, we could just shake hands and be reassured that, yes, our sins are forgiven. Eternal life is ours." And I'm going to beg the question, where is your faith? The reason why I need to beg that question is because Jesus is with us. You may be saying, "But Pastor, he's not with us bodily. I can't really shake his hands. I really can't touch his body. I mean, yes, we have the Word of God, and this is Jesus' Word, but isn't connected to this Word power? Do we not truly understand that the Word of God is the power of God? And when that Word and power of God is connected to what? Bread and wine? We call this a sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Are we not coming into physical contact with Christ's body and His blood? Again, for what? For the forgiveness of sins, as Matthew reminds us in his gospel. Talk about the power of God coming to us in a physical form. What more do we want? Unfortunately, our human sinful nature will say, "I want a little bit more." But notice what happened in our text. Did Jairus say he wanted more than just his daughter raised from the dead? Did the woman who was suffering with hemorrhaging want a little bit more? No, they were content enough with the power of God. But are we content enough with the power of God? Where is your faith? Is your faith in the tangible things that you can buy and acquire and call your own? Or is your faith in which God has revealed himself to us in his holy word, as we confess in a very wordy but needing to be wordied Athanasian Creed? When we got to the Athanasian Creed, was our first response going, "Oh no, the worship service is going to go 5 minutes over time. We have to confess that creed again"? Where is our faith? Unfortunately, there's a growing trend in some of our Christian churches around us. That growing trend is to focus on more, say, upbeat music, more exciting circumstances. And there's nothing wrong with getting a little excited from time to time, but where is our faith? Is that where the power of God is? And say, in a drum set and a bunch of keyboards? Or is the power of God in His Word and sacraments? Where is our faith? When churches over-accentuate the music to become more important than the Word of God and His sacraments, these churches are in error. So likewise, even in our own lives, when we cling on to things that are not the Word of God nor His sacraments, our own actions are also in error. Where is your faith? Going back to our text, Jesus very clearly connects faith with healing. In a few minutes, we'll be coming to the Lord's table to receive this very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? Do you truly realize that in, with, and under that bread and the wine is bodily the body and blood of Christ. Do we truly understand that? No, it's beyond our imagination. We receive it by faith. This is what God's Word says to us when He says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood." So we come before the Lord today and we say, "Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for sometimes getting attached to the things of this world and not being attached to your word and sacraments. Forgive me, Lord, for not having the faith to claim and to seek your power and your power alone, and instead seeking joy and entertainment through other things." So we come before the Lord and say, "Lord, have mercy, forgive me." And what does our Lord do? Again, He forgives. He gives us that power through that word proclaimed, that word spoken. And again, He reassures us of that power with that bread and with that wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. So we come before the Lord empty and dried up, and we say, "Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your glory, the glory of the Holy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but yet one God." So on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we ask the Lord to fill us with His glory and His Spirit. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.